The brass key pressed cold against her ribs as Pearl climbed the Bowery stairs, slower this time, listening. November air seeped through broken window panes on every landing, carrying the damp chill of a building that had never seen proper insulation. Her boots made no sound on the warped wood. The third landing groaned a metallic shriek that echoed up through the floor above. Pearl paused, pressed flat against the wall, and waited. Silence from above. Good. She reached the fourth floor corridor. The gas jet at the end sputtered, throwing long shadows across peeling wallpaper. Number 4 sat between two empty apartments, their doors nailed shut with yellow paper fluttering in the draft. Elena's door was slightly ajar. Pearl had left it that way herself. Or rather, she had not closed it properly. That was the official explanation, if anyone asked. And nobody had asked yet, which was either luck or the calm before something worse. Pearl pushed the door open with two fingers and stepped inside. The apartment was smaller than she remembered. Narrow, really a single room with a sleeping alcove, partitioned by a threadbare curtain. A cast-iron stove dominated one corner, cold and black. Two children slept on a pallet near the far wall, tangled in blankets that had been mended so many times they were more patch than fabric. Marco was on top, his small arm draped over his sister's shoulder. The girl, maybe 5, clutched a wooden doll with one hand and Marco's wrist with the other. They hadn't stirred. Elena stood by the table, her back to the door, kneading dough with both hands. The motion was mechanical, repetitive, her knuckles white against the flour-dusted wood. She didn't turn when Pearl entered. She didn't have to. The dough told you everything, the force, the rhythm, the anger packed into every press of palm against grain. "You came back," Elena said, not a question, an accusation wrapped in flat statement. "I need to look again," Pearl said. "There's something I missed." Elena set the dough down, turned. Her face was harder than before, the anxiety from 3 days ago calcified into something sharper. She was 34, but in the dim light she looked older, her features carved by hunger and sleeplessness. Hazel eyes, dark hair pulled back so tightly it pulled at the corners of her mouth. "Missed," Elena repeated, testing the word like it was foreign. "You poked through my things, you moved my husband's chair, you looked at Marco's toys. And you say you missed something." "I was looking for evidence," Pearl said carefully, "not personal items." "Everything here is personal." Elena stepped closer. She was shorter than Pearl by a head, but she filled the doorway anyway. "My husband is dead, I know this. The men in the blue coats told me. They said he fell in the river. They said it was an accident. But you came here asking questions about wages, about arguments, about why he was talking to strangers. And then you left, and now you are back." She leaned forward, her voice dropping to a whisper that carried more threat than any shout. "What are you really looking for, Signora Detective?" Pearl held her ground. "I'm trying to understand how Thomas Erickson died." Elena's mouth twisted. "Then you understand nothing, because nobody died that night. Nobody at all, only silence." Pearl blinked. "What does that mean?" "It means," Elena stopped. She glanced toward the sleeping children, then back at Pearl. Her hand went to the curtain, tightening the drawstring by inches, a barrier, a shield. "You cannot stay here. You cannot search. If you search, they will know." "Who will know?" "The men." Elena's voice cracked on the last word, and for a moment the armor slipped. Pearl saw the mother beneath the raw, animal fear of someone who had lost one child to the world and would not lose another. The men in gray coats, they watch the building. They stand on the corner by the bakery. They do not move. They do not speak. They only watch. Pearl felt the hair rise on her arms. "How many?" Elena didn't answer immediately. She walked to the window, pulled back the curtain a fraction, and peered out. Pearl followed her gaze. Through the grime-streaked glass, she could make out the street below the gas lamps casting amber pools on wet cobblestones, a milk wagon turning the corner, and beyond that, on the opposite sidewalk, two figures standing beneath a lamppost. Gray coats, gray hats, still as statues. "Two," Elena whispered. "Always two, sometimes more, they come at night. They stand in the alley, they wait." "For what?" Elena turned back. Her eyes were wet but dry-eyed, the kind of tears that don't fall because they've been shed so many times they've dried up. "For someone to leave, or to come back, or perhaps they wait for nothing at all. Perhaps they only wait to remind us that we are being watched." Pearl's mind worked through the implications. Men in gray coats stationed outside a tenement on the Bowery wasn't NYPD surveillance that would be Sergeant Doyle's jurisdiction, and Doyle wouldn't send plainclothes watchers without filing paperwork. This was something else, something unofficial, which meant either corruption or something worse. "Have you told anyone?" Pearl asked. Elena laughed, a sharp, bitter sound. "And say what? That men in gray coats stand on the corner and stare? The police will say I am hysterical. The priest will say I am cursed. The landlord will say I am behind on rent and throw me and my children into the street." She stepped closer again, her voice dropping to something almost gentle. "You are not police, yes, you are just whatever you are. Independent investigator." Same thing in a different coat. Elena reached out and touched Pearl's sleeve, her fingers calloused from needle and thread. "Listen to me. I do not care about your investigation. I do not care about Thomas's death. I care about these two children sleeping on the floor who will eat tomorrow only if I find work by noon. And if the men in gray coats decide that my door being open to you makes me a target, I will not survive it. Do you understand?" Pearl nodded slowly. "I understand." "Then go, leave my apartment, leave my building. Do not come back unless you have answers that keep them away." Pearl turned toward the door. She wanted to say something reassuring, but the words stuck in her throat. What could she promise? That she'd protect them? She couldn't even protect herself. The key was gone lost to a gutter grate 3 nights ago, but the feeling of being watched remained, heavier than brass, heavier than guilt. She opened the door and stepped into the corridor. The gas jet flickered. The shadows shifted. And for a moment, just a moment, Pearl thought she heard footsteps behind her, light, deliberate, moving along the stairwell below. Not going up, going down, as though someone had been waiting on the floor beneath number 4, listening. She didn't look back. She walked fast, her boots clicking against the wood, each step echoing through the hollow building like a countdown. By the time she reached the third landing, the footsteps had stopped. By the time she reached the second, the corridor was silent. By the time she reached the street, the men in gray coats were gone. But the warning was still there. Pearl could feel it pressing against her ribs like a second heart. She turned the corner onto Grand Street and kept walking. The key was gone. The men were watching. And somewhere in this building, beneath the floorboards of apartment 4, something waited to be found. Pearl didn't know what it was yet, but she would. That was the problem with being the kind of woman who couldn't leave things unfinished. The unfinished things always found you first. She reached the tenement's front door and pushed it open. The lobby was empty, the landlady's desk unoccupied, the Morning Post scattered across a stack of unpaid bills. Pearl paused at the threshold, her hand on the brass knob, and listened. The building breathed around her, coughing, shuffling, the distant clang of a pot on a stove 3 floors down. Normal sounds, domestic sounds, the sounds of people trying to live. Then she heard it. Faint, almost imaginary. A scratch at the bottom of her attention, like a nail dragged across wood, coming from above, from the 4th floor. Pearl's hand tightened on the knob. She looked up at the ceiling, at the water-stained plaster that separated her from apartment 4 and the sleeping children and the warning she hadn't yet read. The scratching stopped. She climbed the stairs. The corridor was empty. Number 4's door was still ajar. Pearl pushed it open and stepped inside. Elena had returned to her dough kneading, her back to the room once more, as though Pearl had never left. The children slept. The stove was cold. Everything was exactly as it had been, except for the floor. Pearl looked down. Near her boots, in the space where she'd stood 3 days ago during her first search, the floorboards bore a new mark. Scratched into the pale pine with something sharp, a knife, a nail, a fingernail was a single word, carved deep enough to splinter the grain. "Run." Pearl stared at it. The letters were uneven, desperate, carved in a hand that trembled or rushed or both. RUN, 3 letters that contained every warning Elena had just given her and amplified it into something primal. She knelt, pressed her fingers into the grooves. Fresh wood dust clung to her fingertips. This had been done recently. Today, probably. While she was upstairs talking to Elena, someone had been here. Someone had knelt on this floor and scratched those letters while Pearl's back was turned. Or someone had done it before Pearl arrived, and she'd simply overlooked it. She stood, looked at Elena. The woman hadn't moved, hadn't turned, hadn't acknowledged that Pearl was staring at the floor. Elena, Pearl said quietly, did you write that? Elena's hands paused. The dough sat untouched. For a long moment, she said nothing. Then, without turning, she spoke in a voice so low Pearl had to strain to hear it. No, but I know who did.
Who?
Elena set her hands on the table, leaned forward. Her voice was barely a breath. The woman who lives in the attic, Signora Morti, she comes down at night. She watches. She knows things. She told me Elena stopped, shook her head. She told me to tell you. She told me you would come back. Pearl straightened. Where is she now? In her room, behind the door, she does not come out during the day. The rats get her. Or the cold. Or perhaps she is simply afraid of the men in gray coats, too. Elena finally turned. Her face was pale, her eyes wide and dark. You must be careful, Signora. The floorboards remember everything. And they speak to those who know how to listen. Pearl looked down at the word again. Run. It seemed larger now, more urgent, as though the letters themselves were pressing against the wood from below. She crouched once more, ran her fingers along the edges of the scratch, and felt something unexpected a gap. A loose board. The wood around the word had been pried up slightly, just enough to slip a fingernail underneath. She hooked her nail into the gap and lifted. The board came free with a soft crack, revealing a narrow cavity between the joists. Inside, wrapped in oilcloth and tied with twine, was a small object. Pearl reached in, extracted it, and unfolded the cloth. It was a photograph, black and white, the kind taken by street photographers with their box cameras and tripods. The image showed two figures standing on a sidewalk. One was Thomas Erickson, identifiable by the mill uniform and the cap pulled low over his eyes. The other was a man in a gray coat. They were facing each other, close enough that their shoulders nearly touched. The man in the gray coat was holding something out to Thomas, an envelope or a folded paper. Thomas was reaching for it. On the back, in faded ink, November 12th, Pier 43, after midnight. Pearl's breath caught. November 12th was the night Thomas Erickson died. Pier 43 was where his body had been found. And the man in the gray coat, she couldn't make out his face, but the posture was familiar. The set of the shoulders. The way he held himself like he owned the ground beneath him. She looked up at Elena. Do you know who this is? Elena shook her head. No, but I know what it means. Thomas was meeting someone, someone he trusted, and that person killed him. Pearl folded the photograph carefully and tucked it into her coat. The board went back into place. The word run vanished beneath it, hidden but not erased. She stood, brushed the wood dust from her knees, and looked at Elena one last time. I'll come back, Pearl said. No, Elena said firmly. You will not. Not until you have something to give me. Not until you can make the men in gray coats go away. Until then, I am alone, and you are gone. Pearl nodded. She didn't argue. She turned and walked to the door, her hand on the knob, and paused. Signora Morti, she said without turning. If I find her, will you introduce us? Elena was silent for a long moment. Then, she does not like introductions. She prefers to be found. Pearl opened the door and stepped into the corridor. The gas jet sputtered. The shadows held. And somewhere above her, in the attic, a floorboard creaked just enough to confirm that someone was listening. She descended the stairs quickly, her boots echoing against the wood, and pushed out into the November air. The street was colder than before. The wind had picked up, carrying the smell of coal smoke and river water. Pearl pulled her collar tight and walked west, her mind racing faster than her feet. A meeting at Pier 43 after midnight. An envelope exchanged. A man in a gray coat. And Thomas Erickson, dead 3 days later, his body pulled from the river with a key sewn into his hem. The pieces were there. They just hadn't connected yet. Pearl felt the photograph against her chest, hard and flat against her ribs. She would find Signora Morti. She would find the man in the gray coat. And she would find out what Thomas Erickson had been buying with that envelope. But first, she had to survive the night. Because the men in gray coats were still watching. And whatever was scratching beneath the floorboards of apartment 4, it wasn't done speaking. Pearl turned onto Broome Street and disappeared into the gray afternoon, the photograph burning against her skin like a promise she hadn't yet made.